I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
The month of February is devoted to the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning I got up and did the Stations of the Cross. It felt so good for the soul. Also, the month of February, it's a good idea to be praying the Holy Rosary every day, the Sorrowful Mysteries. Some people actually prefer to pray the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady. It's called the Dolorosa Rosary in the month of February. Whatever you do, remember, you're not on the team if you're not praying the Rosary. I'm reporting for duty. Terry, what about you?
Yes, I'm reporting for duty, and I'm excited about today's show. We've got Father Costco from your Diocese of Phoenix to share some messages about why he did a powerful homily a couple weeks back. I think it's going to be fantastic. Also, our good friend, I've known Dennis Prager here in Los Angeles. He has an article, Jesse, that's called The Denial of Evil, The Case of Communism, and he demonstrates in this article so beautifully the evil of communism. Also, we're going to talk about your rights regarding the Life Legal Defense Foundation about the vaccine. If we're going to be forced to take it, or can we avoid it? And that's what we're going to be talking about. Also, I've got some good news stories about Arkansas. Later, their Senate passed some fantastic pro-life messages and bills. And also, at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about a bishop in Germany. Wait till you hear what happened in Germany. That's a teaser. You got to wait till the end to hear that. But before we get into all of these issues, what do we normally do here? If this is your first time, we get some soul food from readings of the Bible from the daily mass reading. So, Jess, please give us some soul food, brother.
Absolutely. This is a very powerful teaching on prayer. It's called the Matthew 7:7 principle. Let's read today's gospel. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Jesus said to his disciples, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Matthew 7:7 principle is this, is that when you pray, there's three things that should be in place for your prayers to be efficacious and powerful. Number one, when you pray, got to be in a state of grace.
Amen.
That's the James 5:16 principle. If you're not in a state of grace, if you're praying and you're in mortal sin, you haven't repented, then John 9:31 says God doesn't hear your prayers. If you're in a state of mortal sin, you haven't repented, you haven't had contrition and a firm purpose of amendment to change your direction, God doesn't hear your prayer. That's in John 9:31. So God will hear your prayer when you're in a state of grace, James 5:16. Second principle to prayer is when you're praying from a position of authority, it's more powerful. For example, when a father, mother prays over their children, a spouse prays over their spouse, a priest prays over his people, praying from a position of authority is more effective. When you don't pray from a position of authority, it's called intercessory prayer. It is effective because if you're in a state of grace, God will still hear your prayer. But the third thing to prayer is today's gospel. Be specific. Intentionality. That's Matthew 7:7. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. You want to see the perfect example of that? It's the first reading today. You have Queen Esther, who lives in a time, the Jews, they call themselves the Israelites, they are basically prisoners to Persia. You got a wicked king named Xerxes, and you got a second in command. He's a very powerful person. He's called Haman. He's the vizier, he's like the vicar of the king. They set out to kill all the Jews off in a single day, a complete massacre of all the Jews. And they did that because they hated a good Jewish man called Mordecai that was Esther's uncle. Esther finds out about this plan that they're going to kill all her people. And so she goes into complete prayer mode. Prayer, fasting, supplication, and tears for her people. And guess what? Because she prayed from morning till evening on her face, crying and praying to God, we call this prayers of petition, prayers of supplication. What happened? God heard this righteous woman, Queen Esther, heard her prayer and spared the entire Israelites. And they were saved as a result of her intercession. Again, what does she do? That's the Matthew 7:7 prayer. Ask and you'll receive. Yeah, it took her all day. She prayed all day on her face, crying, doing penance and fasting. And God heard her prayer, because another component to prayer that's very important is called perseverance. Perseverance. It isn't just, okay, I just said a prayer. It took me 10 seconds. Okay, it's all good. God's going to take care of my drunk husband. He's going to have a conversion. No. You got to enter into the Esther-type prayer, or the prayer like, you know, the Canaanite woman's daughter in Matthew 15. They prayed long. They prayed on their face. They supplicated. They petitioned. They wept. They cried to God for hours and hours, over and over. And God heard their prayer. Terry?
Bishop Sheen into the room. I want to make sure I get this good news story. Arkansas Senate passes abortion ban and new challenge to Roe versus Wade. These lawmakers, I'm so happy that they did this, because what they're trying to do is it's hoping to serve as a new challenge to the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision that was made back in 1973. Here's what the bill said, Jess. Doctors who perform an unlawful abortion would commit a felony punishable by a fine up to $100,000 or up to 10 years in prison. Yeah, that might stop a doctor to make a few bucks to do that. So I applaud our legislators in Arkansas, and I hope that is a sign for other states to do likewise. All right, let's bring the smartest guy in the room, Fulton Sheen. He says this about mercy and judgment. Bishop Sheen says, if on the last day we would receive a merciful judgment, in other words, our exit interview, we must begin here below to be merciful to others. Just as clouds release only the moisture which they gather from the earth, so too can heaven release only the mercy we have sent heavenward. You know, Jesse, when I look at mercy, and is this, that the most merciless thing we can do is let someone wallow in their sin. And so it's not mercy to tell somebody it's okay to live a double life. I mean, you know, you're married, but you got a couple girls on the side. I understand. No, that's false mercy. Or, oh, I understand, you have a same-sex attraction. You know what? God must have made you that way, so go for it. That's not mercy, okay? That's false mercy. And so the most merciless thing we can do, again, is to let someone wallow in their sin. And that's why I think here at Virgin Most Powerful, we say charity with clarity. Because right now, we need clarity in our church. That's my take, Jess.
Great comment. Going back to the first reading today on Queen Esther, mm-hmm. I think Queen Esther gives an example to every single woman of faith as to how they should approach God. In other words, there's a lot of women that email, call me and my wife up, and they say, this is a typical conversation. Jess, my husband is unconverted. He's an unconverted pagan. I go to Mass every day. I pray the rosary every day. I'm at my wits' ends. What do I do? That's this conversation I have this hundreds of times a year on the phone or in person. Well, you do what Queen Esther did. You do what Queen Esther, and remember that your prayers, your penance, your supplication, your fasting before God, it merits grace for your husband, the grace of conversion. A lot of women are called to be, St. Monica's. They're called to be the St. Monica's of the house.
That's right.
I mean, most women are just called to that ministry, the ministry of Monica. And when you look at all the women in the Bible, the way they pray, they don't start going ordering people around. Like you see some of the Protestants on TV, you see these Protestant women saying, I order you in Jesus' name, raising the right hand over men. That's not in the Bible. That's not biblical. Look at the way women pray in the Bible. You look at Queen Esther. You look at Judith. You look at Hannah. You look at the Canaanite woman's daughter, the Syrophoenician woman. You look at the Blessed Mother. They pray to God in humility. They're not raising their right hand over people. That's a priest duty.
Exactly.
That's a priestly position. That's not a woman's position to raise her right hand over people. That's found nowhere in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. When you look at Queen Esther, Judith, Hannah, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Syrophoenician woman, they pray in humility, supplication. They beg God. They go prostrate on their face. They do penance, and they do it for hours and hours a day. And guess what? God hears their prayer. Again, a lot of people, a lot of women are called to be the Saint Monica for their family. That's a special calling. But again, look at the women in the Old Testament, how they pray, and imitate their prayer practices. Don't imitate the women on the TBN channel, the Health and Wealth Gospels, standing in front of a stage in front of 10,000 men, raising their right hand, doing imprecatory prayers. I order you in Jesus' name. That is not the way a woman prays in the Bible. Terry, take it
when
away.
When we come back, Father Costco out of Phoenix, Arizona Diocese will come and talk about his homily for defending life. I believe that it was one of the most inspirational homilies I've heard in years. You'll be impressed with this. We'll come right back on Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back to Terry and Jesse Show. We have Father Costco from the Diocese of Phoenix, Arizona. Father, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Father, everybody knows who you're at. I know you want to remain incognito, but it's too late for that because you gave a homily that has inspired the laity like you can't believe. And everybody that I've talked to, even priests call me up and say, do you know this priest? I said, yeah, I know him. I met him a few times. He's from my diocese. They're saying, I'm asking the Lord to give me that type of courage to give that type of message. So you've not only inspired lay people, you've also inspired priests. And you've probably taken some flack for it. But, you know, hey, that's what comes.
Not much.
Really?
I mean, there is a unified front out there. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's disagreement. There's no doubt and stuff. But yeah, all very surprising. It was only recorded really for my own protection because I knew I might say things that could be misquoted. And then some parishioners wanted it put online. So we did. We do little funny skits. And we thought maybe 300 people might want to watch it. And anyway, it's very surprising what's happened. But besides that, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I was absolutely swamped here. St. Henry and the whole city of Buckeye is exploding. There's just dirt flying around here. So now with this, I mean, I'll just show you some of the letters we just got yesterday.
Wow. It's like,
I mean, and the emails are triple this. And it's going to take a while, but I'll write back to everybody. So it's been an amazing experience. So I'm absolutely swamped. This is added to it. So ask me your questions because I got to go baptize babies.
I love it. I love it.
Father, so how did you come to deliver this homily? And do you always preach like this every Sunday?
After the election, I told the parishioners, I said, after the inauguration, I have some words I want to share with you. And so I think people were looking forward to what I was going to say after the inauguration on January 20th. Well, on January 17th, I came down with the coronavirus, and I was actually up in Prescott, which is about 100 miles north of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm from, and my mother lives up there. She's about 86, and she's 90% blind. And so I went up there to do some a little work around her house, came down with the coronavirus. She ended up getting it too. The whole thing was a complete blessing for us. It was a blessing. We didn't get that sick, maybe a 2 or 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. My mother just said, can you imagine if I would have gotten this and no one would have been here? Because she lives alone.
Wow.
Great blessing. But then it really snowed and we actually got snowed in. And then after they plowed the roads, I just needed to get some exercise. And I went walking around or in the neighborhood there in the mountains. And I was thinking, because Joe Biden had gotten inaugurated and I had promised the people the next Sunday I would preach and say some words concerning that. But I wasn't there that weekend, nor was I there the following weekend. And as I was walking around in the snow, I said, well, what am I going to say now? Should I not say anything because it's too far removed from the fact? I said, no, I got to say something. And walking around in that snow in Prescott, that story that happened back in 1993 just came to mind. It's a story I've never shared really publicly. Only a few people know about it. And it's just something you'd say, well, why would you share such a thing with your congregation? But as I walked around in the snow, I said, no, wait a minute. Now's the time. And I just sort of thought in my head and actually I was speaking out loud there walking around in the snow. And the homily just kind of came to my mind. And by the end of it, I was kind of crying while I was walking. Mm. And I'll share with you something later about what I think crying is with the spirit. And anyway, I just said, okay, then there's the homily. And so when I came back, I guess you can blame it on Corona.
Everybody else is. Hey, Father, this is Terry Barber. We've never met, but I love your zeal for the faith. And many of my friends right now are texting me saying, yeah, this priest sure inspired me in my 40 Days for Life group that pray at an abortion clinic. So thank you for doing that. Father, what were you hoping to achieve? In other words, what was your goal? Were you wanting to fire people up? Because you sure did that. But what was your goal in presenting that homily for that day?
Terry, we might be at a watershed moment. And I just, it's time for us to make it abundantly clear to the faithful.
Yeah.
That regardless of voices inside the church or outside the church, we stand for certain things. And these things will never change.
Amen.
And it's time to stick to our guns. Don't be afraid. We might take a beating for it. But we just have to apply our belief that God's image is in all life, that it's sacred, that God has a vision for human conduct, that God has a plan for salvation. And I just wanted to make it really clear.
You did.
And it came out the way it did. I was just really speaking to my congregation, who is a beautiful congregation, very faithful people. So I was definitely preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
But I just felt that my responsibility was, in case there's anyone who has any questions here, you know, especially in the times we're in now, and, you know, with a Catholic president who doesn't uphold basic fundamental church teachings, I need to make it abundantly clear to you where we stand. And it's frustrating, and many Catholics are frustrated, and we talk about, let's talk about the abortion and the pro-life issue. And people will sidestep a lot. They just say, well, what about this and that? And I had someone say to me something like, what about the minimum wage? You know, I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. I'm due back on planet Earth any moment now. I mean, people are talking about like they want to colonize Mars. And it's like, great, but I'm trying to get the rocket off the launch pad. So, yeah, sure, we'll do that. But let's get the rocket off the launch pad.
Yeah, really.
Life is sacred. God's the author. Do you got that down? Now we can fire the rockets and go. But it's just frustrating, you know, for many of us.
Yeah. Father, I think it's frustrating because a lot of Catholics have lost their way. They don't even know the first principles of Catholicism, which is first principle, St. Thomas, do good and do no evil. You know, do no evil and
avoid
do good.
Evil.
Yeah, just avoid evil and do good. This is basic, fundamental brass tacks Catholicism.
When somebody... Jesse, even if they do know it, there's something else at work. It's like this is what makes it worse.
Tell us.
That it's not total ignorance. It's like they know innately. Mm-hmm. They know. And then they move over for some other reason. Mm-hmm. And so sort of that story I told about what happened on that bus in Poland, it's
awesome
like
story.
There's reasons that you may not want to get involved. And, you know, one thing I should say, too, some people pointed out, you know, like, are you blaming the Polish people for letting Auschwitz go? And I would say, no. I mean, they were an oppressed people, but sort of like a lot of the girls who have abortions. They're oppressed people today. Sure. Sure. And so we're not blaming, but it's like, but if you have knowledge of this, which I believe people innately do. Like I say, there's no atheists. There's just people who believe in God and deny him to the 99th percentage.
Amen.
Because you and I deny God. That's what's called sin's fault. They just deny him to an extreme extent.
Right.
And so really what seems to be worse is not just that they don't have an innate knowledge, but they'll sidestep and say, well, this is also important, or what about this? And they leave the fundamental truths behind. And it's a bad witness as Catholics. So another thing I wanted to express was that us priests, for the most part, the vast majority of us, we're willing to fight in the trenches. We want to share it with people. We want to educate them. And if they don't know the basics, we want to teach them the basics of the faith. And we want to hear our bishops speak out on the moral issues of our times. And we're very encouraged by the Archbishop of Los Angeles for his words recently, the Archbishop of Kansas City, Archbishop of San Francisco, when he took Nancy Pelosi to task over some words she said about pro-life Catholics. So, you know, we need encouragement. We want encouragement. Jesse, I was talking to you the other day and I gave you an example. I hope it's appropriate, but
yeah. Share it.
I mentioned to you about D-Day, June 6, 1944, right?
That's right.
D-Day, the plan was for the Navy to just absolutely pepper those hills of Normandy with artillery for hours from those great battleships, then send the men ashore and knock off the artillery just when the men approached so that we wouldn't hit them. But what happened is, and I may be incorrect, but they knocked off the artillery about an hour to 2 hours prior to the first craft landing, because the fog came in and they were afraid we don't want to hit the guys. Well, by then the Nazis were able to come out of their bunkers, recalibrate their guns, and D-Day was an absolute slaughterhouse. Mm. It is a miracle that the men fought their way and got to those cliffs and won the day. Absolute miracle. But the guns were silent that day. And I don't mean to, you know, say anything against the bishops, but for us priests, we're willing to do the hand-to-hand fighting. We're on the beach. In some ways, we're getting slaughtered. But we will reach the cliffs. We'll make it. And we will win the day eventually. But I'll tell you, for our hearts, man, we want to hear those guns firing every now and then.
Amen.
Boom, give me a big gunfire every now and then. And it lifts your heart, spirit of a soldier, a Christian soldier. And so maybe some of my homily was just that expression, too.
Great analogy, Father. I want to ask a couple more questions when we come back from the break, if you can. And, Father, I hope you don't mind me asking. I heard the homily say that you're building a new church. Are you okay with some of our listeners donating to helping you build that church? I just thought I'd ask.
They've already started, Terry.
And let's keep it up. Did you hear what I said, everybody? Yeah. How can people support the building of the new church, Father? How do they do that?
I've been here 15 years almost.
So how do they do that?
Trying to get the church built.
Do they just,
and we're getting close.
Do they just go to your parish website?
We don't do any online giving. We just take checks in the mail.
I love it. You're old school.
Old school.
Yeah, I'm very old school. This is the first Skype interview I've ever done.
Yeah, and Father, I also understand.
My degree is in communication arts from Loyola Marymount University.
I love it.
And I don't know how to operate this stuff.
God uses the weak to confound the strong. That's a very biblical thing.
There it is,
a flip-flop phone. Okay. You really are archaic. Wow, I love it. You're like a caveman. Hey, when we come back, we'll have Father Cosco answer a couple more questions about a homily that's firing up people around the world here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Father, one more name. What's the name of your parish again?
It's called St. Henry.
St. Henry's
Catholic Church, and it's in Buckeye, Arizona, which is far west Phoenix.
Right, just off the 10 freeway. I've been there. And people, if we can support them, just write a check to the parish and put it down for the new building, the new church they're going to build. Father, I want to also thank you for helping the good sisters out there in the middle of the desert. Many years ago, I worked with Bishop Olmsted to get those sisters from Mother Angelica when he called me on that. And I'm so happy. I've been there several times. And, man, those sisters are the real deal. So I just want to say thank you for serving them also.
They put us priests to shame sometimes.
Hey, when we come back, Father Koskoll will answer a couple more questions about his preaching on the sanctity of life. And, wow, it was a fiery talk. We'll be back here more with Terry and Jesse. I always like to say we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The homily that was heard across America from the West Coast to the East Coast. We got Father Koskoll from St. Henry's in Buckeye, Arizona.
Jesse, we're hearing from Canada, UK, Ireland, Nigeria, Australia.
I love it.
Now, I'm not like, you know, bragging about it. Like I said, I thought 300 people would listen to that homily, but there are believers who are with us all over.
That's good news. That praise be to God. Thank you,
Father,
Jesus.
Father, let me just jump in and say something that I read a book back in 79 by Monsignor George Kelly. He said, Battle for the American Church. And he said, where's the church going? Where its leaders take them. Priests, bishops, the Holy Father, these are our leaders. And believe me, we're willing to go into the battle with you, Father. As a matter of fact, Jesse and I always talk about, hey, if we go into jail, we'll be preaching the gospel in the jail, wherever we got to be, but we can't compromise. But a priest like yourself, through the grace of God, inspires us lay people to say, hey, there's a line in the sand. We're not going to be quiet anymore. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really all I'm saying at the end of the homily. I said, I'm not asking you to write letters, join anything, do anything. You can.
Yeah.
But can we just hold the line? Mm-hmm. And when we come up against issues, including voting, where it feels like, am I going to compromise my core values? Then pause.
Amen.
All right. And don't cross that line if you're conflicted.
Yeah.
Father, that what you said to me reminded me of that scene in the movie Braveheart with Mel Gibson, when he's on the horse and he's going back and forth and he's telling the men, hold the line. I mean,
that's exactly,
it was chilling because that's exactly what you're telling us Catholics. Hold the line. So, Father, my question, emotionally, what was going through you that made you want to reach out to your people the way you did? Because, again, you said, Jess, I'm just talking to 300 people in Buckeye, Arizona, Little St. Henry's Parish. So what were you thinking about at the moment emotionally? What was going in your mind?
I want to say this about emotions and particularly about crying. We are a body and a soul. They are connected. They influence one another, including health, mental, as well as physical. I often say this, the soul is a metal detector for truth. And that's how God made us. When we come across truth,
yes,
our soul, like a metal detector, goes, woo, and we know this is true.
Amen.
When we come across truth in our souls, our bodies often react. And they can react in many different ways. And one of those ways is crying and in tears. When you watch a movie, like, say, Braveheart, and there's a sad scene and you're crying, why are you crying? That's Mel Gibson. He's an actor. You know it's a made-up movie. They're not really dying. You're crying because your soul has detected truth, that standing up for freedom.
Wow. I think we might have lost Father's connection for a minute, but we're going to get him right back, Mr. Engineer. Jesse, yeah. Father is inspiring me and all of our listeners to really fight the good fight. And, you know, I think of Father Billy as kind of like one of the Holy Fathers in the 4th century, Pope Greg, he said that, you know, when we don't speak up, we're acquiescing to evil. And I think Father Billy's Father Koskoll is basically giving us inspiration to always stand up for the truth, even when it costs us our very life.
That's right. And I'll tell you, I think one of the things that he said that I really liked,
yeah,
he said, when I hear bishops proclaiming the truth and standing up for the truth. He goes, those are like, he goes, those are like guns coming out of a battleship. And that energizes us priests. The priests are energized. Yeah. It's like guns being fired from a Navy battleship when they hear the bishops making thunderous statements. And then the priests, in turn, he says, we're willing to fight. We're willing to do hand-to-hand. And then, in turn, the lay people, when we hear the parish priest talking like Father Costco, we're willing to fight. We're willing to go hand-to-hand.
Yeah.
So, Father Costco, we're talking about the way the bishops, when they sound the guns, they fire the guns, they inspire priests. But priests, when you give homilies like this, you fire the guns and you inspire the lay people to get to do hand-to-hand combat. So do you have any ideas on what faithful Catholics should do to fulfill our mission in these crazy times that we're living in? We're promoting God, our faith. It's often unpopular and it's often looked down upon. What action items can you give the lady, Father?
Before I get to that, I don't know if I got cut off.
No, you did. I wanted you to finish your thought.
Go ahead.
About your
point I was making about that. Like I said, when I was walking around in the snow and the homily came to mind, I ended up crying when I said, okay, I think that's pretty much what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
To me, sometimes tears are, they're a sign that yes, you have detected truth. And it's almost like the spirit, and this has happened to me many times as a priest, 20 years, that sometimes you're thinking, what should I pray, talk about? And sometimes you get emotional just thinking about what you're going to talk about. And those tears or that emotion sometimes says, yes, this is true. Say this. Well, one of the things is you can see in the homily, I teared up and it was, you know, very emotional. I'm actually an emotional priest. I cry in front of my people often. I cry at funerals of people I don't even know because I recognize the truth. That's not my mom we're burying, but that's somebody else's mom. Yeah. And that pain is true. The number of people who have written and told me that they cried. I got a call from a seminarian. He's Nigerian, but he's studying in Cincinnati. And he just said, Father, after I heard your homily, I cried all night. I wept. Why are people crying? Well, some of that emotion is we're exhausted a little bit. And maybe with the coronavirus craziness, the election, our dreams of the church, and just people feel a little, you know, downtrodden. Some of that emotion is just, you just need a good cry.
Yeah.
For some people, it was just like, it's true. What have we done? And for some, it was just sort of like, thank God that others believe what I believe. And that emotion is... that's the soul speaking.
Yeah.
So what can we do? What can I say to those souls? Like I said, we got to hold the line and keep to the truth.
Yeah.
Let me read something. This is Bishop Anthony Taylor. He's the bishop of Diocese of Arkansas, Little Rock, the whole state. He says this about Jesus. Jesus quietly and simply told people the eternal truth about life. He did not argue or seek to prove his point. He simply stated the case and let it stand. Truth is like that. It does not need to argue. It can afford to wait. It will eventually prevail because the conscience that God has placed in our hearts recognizes the truth, even when we want to deny it.
Wow. Father Costco.
So hold the line. If you just believe this, please, we're going to win. But don't sidestep truth, please.
Father, you make me think of a saint, Saint Pope Felix III, back in, are you ready? 475, he said this, not to oppose error is to approve it, and not to defend truth is to suppress it, and indeed to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. See, that inspired me 25 years ago when I read that for the first time. And that's what you're doing right now.
Out there, Terry, we just echo it.
Yes.
It's God's truth.
Amen.
So, well, it's there already.
You got it.
Father Costco, you said something very powerful, talking about, again, the whole theology of the body soul composite, that, you know. Dennis Prager says something similar. I've heard him say this. He says, when we were children, we would cry when we would see monsters and Frankenstein and the werewolf and the boogeyman. He says, but when you get older, you cry when you encounter goodness, beauty, and truth.
Yes.
Beautifully stated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what you said. We no longer cry over Frankenstein and werewolf because we know it's fake. But you're right. When the soul encounters beauty, goodness, and truth, you're right. And Father, it was, you know, young people talk about drop the mic. It was a, you gave a drop the mic homily.
Yeah, you, which is, I wonder why I'm speaking to you now. I already dropped the mic.
Yeah.
Jesse, listen, I've got another request, but this may be, I'm too busy. This may be the only radio interview I do, and I'm only doing it because you're a local homie.
Okay.
I don't know if that's racist now to call you a homie because you're Hispanic. But you're local, so I said I'll talk to him, you know, and Terry too. You know, you're in the Diocese of Phoenix, Jesse, you are, so this is it.
Awesome.
Father, this may be the actual drop the mic after this interview.
Awesome. Father, Jesse had that question about, do you have any ideas of what faithful Catholics should do right now to fulfill their mission in these crazy times when promoting God, it seems like it's so unpopular or are looked down upon.
Hold the line. Hold the line.
Number two.
Yeah.
We have to pray for President Joe Biden.
Amen. Every day.
Yeah. He's your son or your daughter who may have done something that is against the family values.
Yeah.
The first thing is to let him know and to pray for him. So we really do want to pray for him because conversion stories are always better than tragedies.
Exactly.
Hmm.
If he could, can you imagine?
Oh yeah.
I'm with you. What is St. Paul's story all about? Would it have been better that on the road to Damascus, God hit him with a lightning rod and the Christians, yay, the persecutor's dead, you know? No, better to say, why are you persecuting me in that conversion? So you guys know when you interview people who've had conversions, those are awesome. Those are the greatest.
Yeah, I agree.
Give life to people.
Yeah. Well,
so we're praying for conversion. And I want to quote something that was in what we call the Liturgy of the Hours.
Okay.
It's the Office of Readings. It's what we read today, priests, monks. And it's just some saintly words from a guy who lived in the year 400, St. Asterius.
Father, before you do that, I hate to tell you, we're out of time for this break, but I want to hear this because it's important. So when we come back, you'll give us that great quote of the saint.
Around.
We call that in radio business a teaser, Father. All right. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show with Father Costco out of Phoenix, Arizona's diocese. We're going to get some power preaching quotes when we come right back. Don't turn that dial. This is the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show. We're not right versus left. We are right versus wrong. We've got Father Costco from St. Henry's, Buckeye, Arizona. What a blessing to have him on. Terry and me are being inspired. We usually inspire people. Terry and me are jumping out of our seats right now because we're being inspired. The guns are being fired from the Navy ship, and Terry and me are ready to continue doing hand-to-hand combat. Father, you wanted to share something for the Liturgy of the Hours that's relevant to your homily and to today's presentation interview.
Right. I read this morning. Maybe I'm closing with this.
Okay.
Right?
That's great.
And it's all yours.
Yep.
I'll give the show back to you.
Okay.
So this is I don't know much about him, but St. Asterius of Amasya, about the year 400, that's today northern central Turkey. He's speaking about the parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15. Mm. You know, which of you would not go in search of one, you know, of your 100 sheep? And he says, the parable teaches us that we should not look on men as lost or beyond hope. And this is why, Terry, when you asked, what can we do?
Yeah.
Well, we do have leaders, and yes, it's very hard for us, you know, faithful Catholics to say they're in our family, but they seem to be acting contrary. But and there's a lot of emotions, but we can't see them as being lost. Otherwise, if we do, then there's no conversion story. It's just tragedy, okay? And there are tragic decisions they've made and are making.
Yeah.
But if we say they're totally lost, then end of story, period. End of scene three, act three, scene one, fade out, tragedy. And that's not what God wants, so we can't want that. So he says, we should not look on men as lost or beyond hope. We should not abandon them when they are in danger or be slow to come to their help. And maybe some of the things that we're sharing and maybe some of the things I'm preaching are intended, in a sense, come to their help. When they turn away from the right path and wander, we must lead them back. And that's what you guys are doing, I hope is what I'm doing.
Hope so.
And rejoice at their return, welcoming them back into the company of those who lead good and holy lives. That's it. Remember the last words, though, to the company of those who lead good and holy lives. And then, of course, we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, wow, am I living a good and holy life? So you ask Terry, what else can I do?
Yeah.
We always say that. I gotta start with this guy first. Yeah. And always work on this guy. But that doesn't mean to the exclusion of trying to, preach truth for others also to come into holiness.
Well said. Father, I just have to say that Our Lady at Fatima said that souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. And you are spot on when you say, can you imagine a Joe Biden converted and saying, mea culpa, I was wrong, I'm sinful, yeah. I repent, and I want the nation to turn around. That can happen with the power of prayer.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and the power of tears.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe even some people's frustrations and stuff, if they can offer just say, this is a prayer of frustration, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep them from acting out or saying things that are cruel or hateful or whatever. Just turn that frustration into, maybe there's such a thing as prayer of frustration.
I love it. Well, Father, we appreciate you taking the time with us, really.
Father, give us your priestly blessing.
Yeah, amen.
We wrap it up, if you can give us your priestly blessing.
Yeah, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear, don't let Jesse and Terry get me in any trouble. No.
I love it.
Hey, Lord, use us. We are your instruments. Let your Holy Spirit breathe through us to help bring light into the darkness. And we thank you for the way that you've used us and for the opportunity to echo with the sound of the word of God, and just all blessings and blessings to all people who are listening to this show and to your ministry. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God love you. And your
peace. It was fun.
All right. Peace.
That's it. Last one.
Peace of Christ. All right.
You got it. God, hey, Jesse, that's an amazing. I know you've got to run to a doctor's appointment.
Yeah,
or something.
I got
to
run.
So you go, I'll finish up the show. Folks, were you blown away as much as I was? Question mark. I sure was. Wow. Father Costco over at St. Henry's Parish in Buckeye, Arizona, the Diocese of Phoenix, send him a letter. Send him some money to help build a beautiful church. After listening to that homily, I was so blown away. I wanted to end our show with some advice for the Lenten season, and that is get into shape spiritually. That's what Father was talking about. Some of the things we need to do is get up at the fixed time every day at the same time. 7-8 hours of sleep is good. When we work with order and intensity during the day as a way of serving God. So offer up all your work to Jesus. If you haven't been told to do that, do it. Also, ask Jesus Christ for more faith every single day. If you're not doing that, you're off the team. I'm serious. That's how, because you got to have strong faith to survive. Also, try to get to Mass. Like tonight, we have a special evening Mass to pray for priests every Thursday night. We have Holy Hour from 7 to 9 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. If you're in Southern California, come. Also, pray the Angelus morning, noon, and evening. Great idea. Pray the Rosary. We always say that. And I want to invite you to the chapel, those of you in Southern California, the Opus Angelorum, the work of the angels. They're building a monastery, and the vocations from girls and guys there, they have a convent there, and the work of the angels. I asked them to come out, give a parish mission, which they did. Now I'm asking them, I want to have our listeners support the building of a monastery. There's many graces. I've only done that one other time with the Norbertine sisters. I've helped them build a monastery. So I want to share it with you.
on Sunday, the 7th of this month, I am going to be here at the Sacred Heart Chapel for a 2 o'clock Mass, and then Father Wolfgang will give a 3 o'clock presentation, slide presentation, on the monastery that they're building. They're already 50% built. And I'm going to have a young lady who's been on the radio here. She's joining the convent on the 19th of March. Yes, the Feast of St. Joseph. She's going to be here. I love supporting good Orthodox teachings and also organizations. I don't just keep it inside. I let everybody in. If they can, you know, be an authentic Catholic, let's support them. So if you're in town for that day, come on down. I wanted to mention one last thing. A German bishop, his name is Bishop Korglaff. He suggests that the church needs to recognize homosexual ality as, you know, that it's not a it's that it's normal. And unfortunately, he's coming out and saying that this demand for chastity, it's not reasonable. And I thank him for letting us know. I hope and pray the authorities above him will say, you're off the team. You can't be a bishop. If you're not going to go along with this catechism of the Catholic Church, you're done. That's what I'm praying for. I'll do him a service because he's going to mislead souls. And I sure wouldn't want to be in that position. So you pray for the German church because it is mixed up big time. Also, we talk so much about redemptive suffering. Just remember, there's so much suffering in the world which could be transformed into streams of graces if it were accepted and offered in union with the sufferings of our blessed Lord. Check this out. Hospitals could become spiritual atomic power plants in drawing divine graces into the world. If all Catholics would work with this great talent properly, the evil one would soon be defeated. The world would be converted, as Father said that, Father Costco, and countless poor souls would be released from purgatory. Why do I tell you this? Because I want you to remember, it's a very important thing, that it's impossible to measure the spiritual benefits and graces granted to those who spend time in the presence of our blessed Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. As members of the Church, the mystical body of Christ, our actions and prayers bear fruit. Check this out. Every devout reception of communion, yep, every good confession, and every prayer has positive ramifications on the entire church. Every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has eternal value. Now, personal growth in the spiritual life is an apostolic activity. Some people say, oh, well, you're just praying. Prayer is more important than action. You can't have action without prayer. Silent prayer should and then always be seen in the context of the universal church. Bottom line, everybody, our prayers help the entire church. So that's why I share with you these things, because I want you to be on fire as Father was, to share the gospel in season and out. Don't forget our five stones of King David, right? Pray the rosary, get to Mass, make sacrifices, remember? And also get to confession as soon as possible. If you haven't been to confession in a month, make it your resolution to come this weekend here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. We have confessions Saturday afternoon, 3:45, and then Sunday mornings at 6:45 in the morning. But get to your parish and get to confession. Knock on the door. Whatever it takes, you need to get to confession on a regular basis. Don't forget, as I said before, faith is not a leap in the dark. It's being bathed in divine light. And keep this in mind for your married couples. This is advice I give every couple months. Renew your marriage vows with your wife or husband. Please. Because your love for your wife or your husband will not last because you're tough or strong. It will last because you have the power to renew that love. Do it frequently. Not every 50 years. Every month at least, or every quarter. Get your wife in there and say, honey, I take you to be my lawful wedded wife. Renew these vows. That's what needs to be done to have a strong marriage, in my humble opinion. Now, up next, the doctor's in, Dr. Sandoval, and he's been giving great advice. you know, if we ever get taken off, well, YouTube took us off for a week. I just want to give you an update. We're supposed to be put on Monday. But if they take us off, please go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, because there's a free app that YouTube has nothing to say about. If you can download the app, you won't lose us. And I share that because, you know, we have to speak the truth in charity. And in our culture right now, speaking the truth is offensive to Big Brother. But guess what, Big Brother? We're going to preach it in season and out. And thank you all for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful. We're trying to purchase some more equipment to be able to deliver this message we have on other platforms. If you want to help us out, call 877-526-2151. And I appreciate it ahead of time. Go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. That's where you can be a monthly donor, and that pays our monthly bills. If Jesse was here, I'd say, Jesse Romero, what state should we be living in, brother? And he would say, a state of grace. And I'd say, spot on, bro. That's exactly what we need to be doing, because life is short and eternity is forever. May God richly bless you and your family, and enjoy the Dr. Sandoval show right after a quick break. God bless you.